Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is John Mosley. Hello, John.
Hello. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. John, if you don't know, is president of Lincoln University, and we're happy to have a chat with him here today. So, John, let's start with just talking about your background. You've been here in Jeff City area for about 9 years, but kind of give us a background before then, as well as how you progressed through the different places at Lincoln.
I grew up in Eastern North Carolina. Northeastern is what I like to say, Warren County. My wife and I both are from there. Took an interesting journey to college to East Carolina, following my sister's footsteps. We became Pirates, and fortunate enough to finish my undergrad and master's degree there before jumping into a career as a college basketball coach. Moved quite a bit in the early years, University of Delaware, went back to my hometown to coach high school for 2 years before jumping back to the college ranks at Wright State University and then Winston-Salem State, and then having a chance to go back to East Carolina was a dream come true for me at that point in my career. Left there after 2 years to go to North Carolina Central University, where I met then Vice Chancellor Kevin Rome, who eventually became Lincoln University's president in 2013. Had the opportunity to come join his staff as a men's basketball coach here at Lincoln in 2014. After a year in that role, began a journey as the interim athletic director in addition to my coaching responsibilities, then earned the opportunity to be full-time athletic director as well as full-time men's basketball coach. Lo and behold, he's the one that encouraged me to get my doctorate. I didn't understand why at the time, but he told me that if you have it and ever need it, you'll have it. If you never need it, so what? And so I went back to University of Missouri, began my doctoral journey, completed that, and a few weeks later was asked to serve as the interim president. And I called it trying out for the team and had an opportunity to try out. Unfortunately, I made the team and was named permanent president January 28th of 2022. And what a crazy journey. Who would have ever thought it? I'd be the last one to tell you that I'd be in this role at this point in my career. But I can also tell you that I love it and I feel like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. So why do you feel like you're exactly where you're supposed to be? What are the things that just resonate with you?
Well, the university itself, it just fits me, and everything that the university believes from its founding have been things that principles that I believed in my whole life. I grew up in a majority minority community in Eastern North Carolina, and so I've had friends from different races, ethnicities my entire career. It's something that I believe in. I believe in the value of diversity, not just in race and gender, but in thought. And surround yourself with different people to make you really think about the way you do things. I had a number of friends growing up that were from different backgrounds. I'm extremely comfortable. I got to my first HBCU in 2010. Winston-Salem State in 2007. And then to go to North Carolina Central in 2010. There's just been a sense of family that exists on HBCU campuses that have just resonated with me as a person. You know, I value relationships a great deal. I think that's been captured in what we've done here with the community. I'm big on people. And I think HBCUs do a better job of that than most institutions. And so Lincoln fits me. It's been a great career move, but it's also been a great personal move with living in Jefferson City and raising our daughter here. It's just been a welcoming place and time for me in my life.
So you're 6 months into this new gig. So what are the things that surprised you that you never dreamed of?
The amount of responsibility. It seems to come from every single direction. You know, most people want the president to be the one making the decisions, but I believe in empowering your people to make the decisions. And so pushing some of it back down to challenge your staff and faculty to make some of those decisions and to certainly have input on what the direction is that we're going to go. But it's you never get bored. I love that about my previous career. I love it about this one. You don't know from day to day what you're going to walk into or what situation is going to arise, and so it keeps you on your toes. I will tell you that while I understand that some may question my background and my path to the presidency, I really don't think there's a better path because of the lessons that I learned through athletics. You never get too high or too low. You have a big win, you just have to take it in stride. If you have a bad loss, take it in stride. Your day can change in 15 minutes. And so you learn to never get too high or too low. And I think there's been a lot of lessons that I've learned through athletics that have been beneficial in serving in this capacity as president.
Sure. So you talk about empowering those around you to help make decisions. I mean, one of the things in those 6 months has also been kind of assembling your team.
Yes.
Right? You've had several folks that you've brought in to help pursue this vision for Lincoln's next steps. So talk a little bit about maybe some of the folks that you've brought in.
Well, my first hire was Kevin Wilson while I was interim president to replace me as the athletic director. But Kevin also has a tremendous background in fundraising, and so he'd been on the advancement side in athletics at a few universities, and so he joined us in July of last year. Throughout the year, Zakiya Brown was promoted internally. She's someone that I saw a lot of promise in my previous role and felt that it was time for her to be elevated into administration, to leadership of administration. Darius Watson served in an interim capacity for us last year and did a great job moving from faculty over to our dean, an interim dean of enrollment management. He's since now moved with the hiring of a new provost, Michael Self. Darius has transitioned to the executive director of special initiatives right now. We've got a number of things that we'll likely talk to, but the Health and Security Sciences Institute is certainly one of those things that Darius is going to spend a lot of time on over the course of the next 12 months getting off the ground. Having Michael Self join us here in the summer was great. It was great to finally have a permanent provost in place that can kind of manage the academic side of the university and begin to roll out some of the initiatives that we're looking to expand on from an academic standpoint. And then Jeremy Falk. Jeremy joined us as the chief of staff. He's been a great addition to our team, taking a lot of the day-to-day responsibilities of the university off of my plate. I call him a great project manager. He's a guy that is helping turn my ideas into implementations. He's been a great addition to our team. We have interim human resources. Becky Babb has been with us now for nearly a year in that capacity, but that's a position that we're searching for right now, permanent replacement for HR director. And so we still have a few vacancies, but it has been nice to finally surround myself with a group of folks that can push me to become a deeper thinker, and I hope I can challenge them to do the same as we work to move the university forward.
So what are some of the priorities then? Now, one could say you've easily got your feet on the ground, you've got your team somewhat assembled. So what are some of your priorities going forward?
Enrollment's at the front of everybody's mind at all times. Students are our customers. Some people don't like to think about higher education being a business, but I certainly am one that sees it through that lens. Mm-hmm. And so enrollment is at the forefront of everybody's mind. Next for us is being fully funded with the land grant for the first time from the state. It comes with enormous responsibility for us. And so ensuring that we're good stewards of the state's funding to support the greatest number of citizens in the state through that support is important for us. And we've certainly got some ideas on how we're planning to go about that. Next is again, the governor asked us a year ago for a transformational project for our campus. For us, we chose the Health and Security Sciences Institute, which is a new complex that we expect to build into the existing Eliff Hall. It will be a new construction project with some renovations to that space. And this project is going to allow us to double the size of our School of Nursing, which historically has been the shining star academically at the institution for a number of years now. And it's also a career that's in great need in our communities as we sit here today. And so that's going to be a tremendous addition, as well as the security sciences portion of this project that will pair with our criminal justice degrees for certificates and degree programs in cybersecurity, GIS, law enforcement, which we historically, we have the nation's only law enforcement training academy on an HBCU campus here in Jeff City that's received national acclaim from a few different organizations. And so we're hopeful that we're going to become the public safety hub of Mid-Missouri, and we want to expand that into other areas of public safety over the next few years. Then it becomes the creation of online degree programs. We don't have very many in a day and age when brick and mortars were actually dying and online was thriving. Lincoln made the decision in around 2015 to not really jump 2 feet into the online degree space. And so we're having to circle back now and create some of those. And so I've asked Dr. Self and his team to work on creating at least one online degree in each of our academic programs that would make us more attractive to non-traditional students and maybe students that don't want to necessarily come to Jefferson City to get their degrees. And so the plate is full. There's plenty of opportunity. There's plenty of work to be done. But I think we've got a group of people, not just on our administration, but at our university that have maybe been re-energized in some regards, just to have some permanent leadership at this point and have bought into the vision that we're selling for the university.
Well, let's talk about some of those elements. Let's talk about enrollment. Some good numbers coming in this fall. What kind of increase are you expecting?
We're certain we're up in new students. We've documented that we expect to be 22 plus percentage points up in first year students. The concern, and rightfully so, has always been retention at Lincoln. We do have an initiative in place to begin with that group of students, but it hasn't benefited the students that have come before them. We're still waiting for all of the numbers to come in. We're at the point in the semester where dual credit students are enrolling as we speak, and so we'll take about the next week and a half to finalize that enrollment before we get to census date and release their final numbers. As I sit here today, I believe I'm confident in saying I believe that our full-time enrollment will increase somewhere 3-5%, but I am concerned about total enrollment being flat. You know, you're certain hope that you're going to grow. I don't think it will be a 10% decline that we had technically budgeted for because of the trends that have gone on. Mm-hmm. I think we've closed the gap, but I don't know as we sit here whether or not there will be a total enrollment increase. But I think we've certainly got our feet on the ground from the standpoint of we've gone through a year of recruiting and grown that first year enrollment for the first time in 5 years. And so hopefully this will start the trend in the right direction.
Yeah. So what are the challenges with retention? Is that something that most schools struggle with, or is that something unique right now to Lincoln?
No, I don't think it's unique to Lincoln. No, I think the percentages are unique. In some regards, they're much lower at Lincoln. You can say what factors play a role in that. Certainly us being an open enrollment institution, the institution was founded on the premise of providing an education for all. For instance, a student in the state of Missouri that earns a GED or a high school equivalent or a high school degree is automatically admitted to the institution. Out-of-state students are required to have a 2.0, but no necessarily standardized test score. We believe in giving students an opportunity, and I fully support that concept, but I also think that with that, the university has a responsibility to give those students who come into Lincoln underprepared, we have to give them the foundation that they need to be successful. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new. It's nothing that we invented. I like to tell people I'm a simple-minded person. There's a lot of great ideas out there. It's just a matter of finding something that you think would work here. And so we've started a first-year success initiative with 80 students this year that have come in and what we've defined as underprepared. And so we're going to monitor those 80. They're in groups of 20. Each of them have 5 people that are responsible for them. They have a faculty leader. They have 2 faculty instructors. They have an academic coach. And they have a peer that are going to work with them both in the classroom and outside of it for extra study sessions and different requirements that they're expected to participate in to see if this is something that will help us move the needle from a retention standpoint. You know, at other institutions, they're having maybe similar conversations, but our retention rates have traditionally fell between 50 and 55% over the last 11, 12 years. You know, we'd like to see that number grow into the immediate future, into the 60s to 70%. And that's going to help with total enrollment. And it'll also help those students get their degrees.
So to help listeners who maybe don't really understand what an unprepared student might look like, what are some of the skills that maybe we take for granted that our kids would have, but that these students, it's a challenge for them?
You know, the areas that we see the biggest potential for growth is math and writing. Students come in from high schools that maybe haven't prepared them. And it's no blame on the schools. We can get into a philosophical debate about what neighborhood you live in and how that impacts your education. But for us, it's a matter of can we give those students those skills that they need in that first year with a basic English class and a basic reading class and a basic math class to get them prepared for what we would traditionally say is English 1 or the first math that you take, college algebra. So we try to base it. This year, we based it off of a combination of GPA and test score, students that fell between below a 2.5 and a 17 or below in the ACT. We've since eliminated standardized test scores as part of the entrance requirements, and so we're having to go back now and review what that looks like. But we do know that statistically over the last 5 years, 41% of our students have come in with a 15 or below in the ACT. And about the same percentage had come in with under a 2.5. This year's freshman class, not exact, but are in the neighborhood of about 25-28% of them have come in. So we've increased the GPAs of this year's freshman class, but for those that actually took a standardized test, it held true to about 41%. And so we know that some of the skills are missing, but we're also confident that the students are willing to put their work in, our faculty and staff are willing to assist them. And so Lincoln's a place that if you're willing to put the effort in, you can receive your degree.
So one of the things you had mentioned as part of your priorities is the funding for Lincoln. So let's talk a little bit about the land grant. It's a unique class of universities in the state. There are only 2 land grant institutions. Both are funded a little bit differently. So let's talk a little bit about that and what the mission is for Lincoln as a land grant university and what the fully funding means for you.
Really quick, our neighbors up the street, the University of Missouri, is the flagship, and they're an 1862 land grant established by the first Morrill Act. We're in 1890, established by the second Morrill Act, and there's only 19 1890 institutions in the country. They're all historically black colleges and universities. We are one of the few that have two land grant institutions so close together, but the emphasis and the impact of that is agriculture, it's research and extension throughout the state. So we have satellite extension sites in St. Louis, Kansas City, and three down in the southeast part of the state, Charleston, Caruthersville, and Sykeston. And with this new support, we're trying to expand into other areas that we traditionally haven't served. Our 1862 land grant, Mizzou, is all over the state. I think they're represented in nearly every county in the state. But our message to the legislature last cycle was, we're serving two distinctly different missions that complement one another, not compete with one another. And I think that messaging helped us. It also didn't hurt that the state had some cash with the ARPA funding that's come in. And so, you know, I want to be clear. It wasn't us or our story. This message has been delivered a number of times over the last 22 years, and the state was finally in a position to do something to support the institution. We serve smaller farmers. We try to increase their profit margins. We focus a lot on education in our extension sites from youth through seniors. And so we have a presence across many places in the state, but we certainly also have an opportunity to expand that reach. We're into goats and sheep in agriculture, whereas Mizzou is into cattle and swine. We're big in aquaculture. We do a little bit around poultry. Then we do a lot of cover crops. We're among the nation's leaders in hemp research at this point. It's Cornell University, the University of Kentucky, and Lincoln University of Missouri. And so we're going to put some of this new land grant money into that project, as well as our goal is to open a meat processing plant here at one of our co-county farms to benefit the local farmers that could potentially bring their harvest and process small ruminants, small animals right here in Cole County. And then we're still in the cover crop business as well. And so we've got some initiatives that we're undertaking in that market as well.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the hidden jewels, if you will, of Lincoln is that ag department. I'm just constantly amazed at some of the work that they're doing there, as well as how receptive it is to students, right? My understanding is that if you're an ag student, there's a special deal for you to come to Lincoln. Is that...
In some regards, you know, us being an 1890 land grant institution, there's 1890 scholarships for all students. The scholarship was created to try to diversify and to invite students of color to come into agriculture, but it's open. It's open. We have a number of students from all backgrounds that receive that scholarship. That funding is unique to 1890 institutions. It's 100% scholarships. It's one of the few scholarships that we have on campus that's 100%.
Yeah.
To, I believe, include a laptop. I know at one point it did. I think it still does. But it covers housing, rooms, room and board. It covers the whole thing. And it's amazing because, number one, I never would imagine I would be saying this now as a college president. I know I didn't. I wasn't even familiar 2 years ago. But the amount that I've learned over the last 15 months or so, you know, we used to think of agriculture as cows, plows, and sows.
Right.
But now there's so many aspects to it. We're flying drones, you know, we're measuring things with drones. We're doing so much on the technology side in agriculture. While we're talking self-driving cars, there's self-driving tractors. It's just remarkable the amount of progression in the ag space at this point. And some of these researchers, they're so passionate about what it is that they do. I love to go and watch them and hear them tell about what it is that they're researching, because some of the stuff's just simply amazing. And to think that maybe in a matter of years, maybe we get to see the front end of what some of that looks like. It's really neat.
So we've talked about some of the opportunities, the priorities that you have. What are some of the challenges that Lincoln's going to be facing in the next year to 5 years?
That's a very good question. You know, I think as a state, the university's positioned right now to receive funding for the next few years. I think our state's in great space economically with everything that's transpired and coming through the pandemic on a positive. But we also have to be aware that at some point, the tides are going to turn. We see that cycle go through a number of times. And so we've got to be mindful of that. There's an enrollment cliff that's looming in higher education in 2025. There's going to be a decrease after 2025 in the number of high school graduates for a period of time. I think that's why it's important for us now to jump into this online space to make ourselves more attractive to non-traditionals. But I also believe, and maybe I'm naive in thinking so, but I believe that our mission is one in which, even with smaller numbers of high school graduates, we serve a niche within that that I think will still have a need for college. I'm confident that we can thrive through that challenge. So those are two of the bigger ones. We'll continue to grow enrollment. I hope that we're sitting here in the next 2 years with a challenge for where we're going to house all of our students. You know, we're doing some renovations right now to one of our residence halls. Once we get that one done, we're going to be right behind it, hopefully with another one, to make our living spaces welcoming for students of today's generation. And so it's changed. You know, most of these students now they don't mind having a roommate, but they want to lay their head down in their own space and be able to close their bedroom door. And so we're trying to get ahead with some of that in the renovations that are taking place. But I'm hopeful that we'll be having challenges as it relates to all of our beds being full over the next couple of years. And then what can we do as a university to either expand, grow, get the community to support us? Because there's not a lot of apartments, as you talk about Lincoln, that immediately surround the campus. We're not in a traditional college location as it relates to the neighborhood. And so that'll be a good challenge to have, but I certainly expect that we'll be there over the next 2 to 3 years.
You know, I will say I was on campus last week and I was really struck by the vibrancy of the campus, because around lunchtime we went to the cafeteria and it was bustling. It was frankly bustling. What do you attribute that to? I mean, that wasn't necessarily the case a year ago.
I think we've got just a really good team. My message this year has been team, regardless of what department you come from that may be under it. The focus is Lincoln and how each of us has a role to play. Not everybody can be the star, but everybody can be a star in their role. That's a Doc Rivers quote, not John Mosley, but that's what I believe and that's what I preach. And so, you know, I get to be the president, but I have a job to do just like somebody that works in that cafeteria. And so we each have to do our part. And I think we've done a better job with that. I think the students see a change. I've been very happy to receive some positive emails from some of our faculty and staff to say, basically, just thank you. Thank you for the messaging. It's a different feel right now. We're going to ride that wave for as long as we can and continue to try to build on it. I think the beautiful thing about education is the start of the school year and the end of the school year, to be honest. There's some kind of excitement that comes with it. I know for me personally, having the students back on campus, you just feel your own personal energy level just increase, because you see them, you engage with them, you hear their stories, you make sure you meet their needs, and just see them growing. It's just so much fun. It's one of the things that I absolutely love about being in the field of education.
I know there have been some efforts also, you mentioned the staff, some efforts to really develop the relationship with staff. And I think you have some new programs coming out perhaps that are targeting staff development, staff rewards, if you will. You want to share some of those?
Some of the feedback that we're given was trying to select or name an employee of the month, and hopefully this goes through the faculty and the staff, and then end of the year just kind of come together as a Lincoln family and talk about who the employee of the year is on the faculty, who the staff employee of the year is. Some of the things, the ideas that we've been given, we did a mixer this year as part of our Fall Institute where we gathered off campus, and it was open to anyone that wanted to attend as a university employee. It was well attended. The energy was different. The conversations are different when you meet somewhere in town off campus where, you know, you get to know the employees as people, which I think is important. And so we've had conversations about what other kinds of events can we do throughout the year, maybe once or twice, to just get people out of their element on campus. But we've also had suggestions is, can we come up with an event where people can bring their families to? So our families can engage with others so that we get to know each other better. I think those relationships are really important. You know, I've benefited historically from just having people care about you. And I think we can show that same level of care to one another and get through when somebody's having a difficult time. We rarely go through it at the same time.
Right.
And so having somebody that's feeling good that day that can kind of take that walk with you, and when you know people personally, it's much easier to connect on that level. So those are some things that we're hoping to expand on as we go through this school year.
Yeah, I mean, it builds a community, right?
It does.
As you mentioned, there are times when all of us need a little support, or we can offer support, and you have to know the person to be able to do that.
Right.
You know, one thing that strikes me as a community member is just the development of, if you will, the relationship between Lincoln and Jeff City seems to be really growing stronger. What's your take on the relationship between the two?
I don't take credit for a whole lot, but my timing here was incredible. Coming in as a basketball coach, we rarely saw in 2014 people in the community with Lincoln paraphernalia.
Right.
You just rarely saw it. And now I think about being here in 2022 and recently at the big box store, they had Lincoln blankets. and they sold out consecutive days.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. And so I would say that the creation of the Blue Tiger Athletic Club during my time as the athletic director was instrumental in what we see today as the university's relationship with the city. That was a great first step, and the business community bought into it. I will say that my wife and I have poured a lot of ourselves into the community, but at the same time, the community's poured a lot into us. And so I just believe that we're the capital city's university. One of my taglines has been, you can support Mizzou and still be true blue. We're on different levels. $1,000 donation at Mizzou, it's good, but $1,000 donation to Lincoln is life-changing, potentially for a student. Your impact is just felt tremendously at Lincoln. I don't take the selfies, but I try to keep up with the mayor as far as trying to be at as many local events as possible so that this community knows that we care. And that was my philosophy as a coach. If we want people to come to our games, we have to be engaged in the community. I took that philosophy to being the AD, and I take that same philosophy now sitting here as the president to say that we are a big part of this community. And the Chamber of Commerce last year, right after I took over, Gary Plummer came to me and said, we really want to help. And they started an internship program with our students that has been a tremendous asset to both the business community and Lincoln University, because our students, many of whom often make a decision, do I go do an internship that's unpaid in my career field, or do I go get a part-time job when I know that I need some resources to support my education? These paid internships have provided our students with an opportunity for financial gain, but also career experience that I think will expose them to say, yes, I want to do this moving forward, or it's time to change my major because I don't see myself doing this for a career. And so I can't thank the chamber and the business community enough that have selected those internships. Those young people, many of whom have gotten offers for jobs at the completion. The feedback for that program has been tremendous. It's ongoing right now as we speak. We'll be interviewing later in the month of September. I just see Lincoln having so many opportunities locally to get involved and for the local community to get involved at Lincoln. And so I'm very passionate, Gary. I get fired up about it, but I do believe that we're at a great spot right now to take this university to a place that maybe it's been a few years since it's been there, you know? And so I'm going to do everything in my power with the group that's around me and the team of folks at Lincoln to ensure that this institution is here for another 160 years serving our students.
All right. Well, John, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Happy to do so.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.